Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Everyone doing good? Hey, I drove onto this site this morning, and I don't know if you realize this, but in 5 days' time, we've been in here for 5 months. So in 5 days' time, we've been in this facility for 5 months. And I wonder how many of us drive onto this site still full of expectation. Or has it just become home? Which we want it to be home, but we also want it to not just become, oh, that's just church. Because 5 months ago was not the end game. It was the gateway into what God has for us next. It was the gateway into the next phase. And I can't get this scripture out of my spirit. In fact, I'm going to speak on it tonight if you want to come back. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard. No mind has imagined. Not even Pastor Craig and Nadia with all their vision and dreams and hopes have grabbed a hold of what God has prepared for those who love Him. And I want to encourage you, never let this become normal. But God, let us just live on the edge of our seat. This week, what do you want to do? This week, how do you want to use me? Not how do you want to use the team? We are the church. This is not the church. This is a building. We are the church. It becomes the living bride of Christ when you and I walk in and say, God, I'm available. Here I am. And if today is your first day here, we're so honored that you would spend your Sunday morning with us. But for those of us who come every week, can I encourage you? Can I stir you? Every Sunday, be like a kid on Christmas morning. God, what is it today? Use me, speak through me. Can we one more time thank God for everything that He's doing through our church, through this house? Come on, let someone praise Him for who He is and for what He's doing. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for what You're doing in our church. We thank You for what You're doing here in Life Melbourne. We thank You for Pastor Craig and Nadia. Would You continue to lead us and guide us into the no eye has seen and no ear has heard. Would we be a church that builds something that doesn't draw attention to itself, but deflects the attention to You? Would our city see Jesus clearer because of what You're doing in and through us? In Jesus' name, amen. And it would be remiss of me not to pray for Bryce. Bryce, we've been praying for you, man. We have been praying for you. And we are believing that through your story, through what God does in and through you and Kirsten, that there would be a testimony that could be explained by two words, but God. But God. The doctor said, but God. Today I'm feeling, but God. I may have some stuff that I need to grow through, but God. And you're going to have a but God story that when people look at how you have journeyed this and how you as a couple have journeyed this, people are going to go, how on earth? But God. Father, we pray for this couple. We pray for Bryce. We pray for continued healing, for continued miracles. God, we are not willing to settle for where we're at so far, but God, we want to see everything you have for this man and this couple. We stand here believing for an outcome. Our faith is not in an outcome. We believe for an outcome, but Jesus, our faith is in you, who is the author and finisher. God, you are sovereign. We speak your sovereignty, your grace. We speak strength for the journey and opportunities to shine your light and your love. Father, I pray that when days are tough, when things are, realities are real, that this couple would feel a family around them, lifting their arms, speaking faith and the person of Jesus. And God, I pray for every person in this service who is believing you for a miracle. pray for every body that needs to be healed, every financial situation that needs a breakthrough, every relationship that needs mending. God, would our church be littered with stories of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We give it to you and we pray that you would have your way. Jesus be exalted, because God, you are good, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, one more time. Can we thank God for who he is? Amazing. Give someone a handshake, a hug, a high five, a little kiss on the cheek. Whatever's appropriate. Don't cross any lines. You're in church. Towards the end of last year, I got the call that every father wants to hear. If you're a girl dad in here and you have a daughter, then you want to hear a phone call from your daughter that says, Dad, I need you. Because there's something on the inside of a dad when your daughter says, Dad, would you come and save me? You're like, I'm there. Like, it's almost like there's a Superman suit on the underside of your, and it's about to break through. I am there. She goes, Dad, I need you. Can you come and help me? Now, she's been dating a guy for 5 years now. She didn't call the boyfriend. She called the dad. So I remind him of that on a weekly basis. And she was at a petrol station filling up her car. And she's like, Dad, I don't understand what's happening. It normally takes me $65 to fill my car up. And this got to $75. And there was just petrol pouring out of the underneath of my car. And I didn't know what to do. And this older gentleman behind me pulled up and said, you need to get away from your car because it's going to explode. There's petrol everywhere. I'm like, babe, it's not going to explode. Petrol doesn't just blow up. It's okay. And then the guy says to my daughter, who's 20 years old, she is freaking out, says to my daughter, hey, I don't have time for this. If you're going to start the car, let me know, because I'm going to go away before you blow this place up. I'm like, let me at him. So I come down there and someone had literally cut her petrol line to siphon fuel out of her tank. So as the fuel was going, it was pouring out. Anyway, we got it back to the church and we got it fixed and sorted all out. But the line that stuck out to me was this guy says to a 20-year-old girl in distress, I don't have time for this. I think there is often a disconnect between our want to and our able to. When God puts us in a position to help someone, and that disconnect is a little word called margin. And in a year where we are committed to the one, come on, we are committed to the one. We are committed to following the one. We are committed to sharing the one. We are committed to being a disciple and creating disciples. In a year of the one, I believe God's going to give us all opportunities to use what he has done in us to be used through us to help someone else. Friend, if you're in a school teacher, you're not there to give kids an education. You're there to bring Jesus into a classroom. If you are a trader, you're not there just to build a house. You are there to bring Jesus onto your job site. If you are a stay-at-home mom, you are not there just to keep the house in order and get the kids off to school. You are there to raise world changers and take what God has done in you and put it into someone else. But there is often a disconnect between our want to and are able to. I don't think there's many inherently stingy people in the world. There's a few. So don't just go to the exception to the rule. I don't think there is inherently a whole bunch of people who are like, I just don't want to do anything. I just think there are a bunch of people who don't have the space or the margin to be able to respond to what God is asking. Margin is defined by the amount available between what is needed and what is necessary. It's the amount beyond, margin is defined by the amount beyond what is necessary. Margin is the difference between what I have and what I need. And can I suggest this morning that margin is not a management tool. Margin is not a buzzword. Margin is not something that a life coach comes and talks to you about. Margin is a God idea. It is a Bible idea. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 22 says this, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. In Bible days, when you were to plant your field with a harvest, some sort of produce, when you went to harvest that produce, if like a sheath of wheat fell down or a piece of fruit fell off your orchard, that was called gleaning. You are not to pick up what you have dropped, but you are to leave it for the poor and the needy. Yeah. Deuteronomy 24:19, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it, for it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the people in your workplace, the people in your school, the people in your neighborhood, and the widow, and the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand. God is talking to people here whose sustenance for life came from what they reaped out of the field they own. Every family had a plot of land. Every family had a boundary. That was their plot to plant stuff so that their family could live and move forward. They would both consume it and trade with it. And the Bible says that when you plant out your plot of land, don't go all the way to the edges, but leave a bit of margin around the edge. Don't push so close to the edge that everything is full, that if anything else, I wanted to do anything else, you had no room for it, but leave room on the edges. Don't work all the way to the edges. Because when we're committed to creating margin in our life, now, we don't have fields today. Well, most of us don't have fields today. But what about the field of my emotional world? Is there margin? What about the field of my relational world? Is there margin? What about the field of my patience? Now, public service announcement. There are areas of this that I feel like I am doing well in, and there are areas of this that I feel like I'm a work in progress in. So I'm not here saying you all need to, I'm saying we need to create room. What about the areas of our life that God wants to do something in, but we're so full that when he says, what I've done in you, I want to do through you. I want it, Lord, but I don't have any room. Calendar? Oh, it's getting quite quiet in here. Do I have room in my calendar? My schedule? My week? If God says, hey, would you invest into this couple, this family? Would you take what I've done in you and let me do something through you? Do we have room? Because our margin, when we create margin, we create room for a miracle for us and a miracle for others. Now, there's a big difference between the snapshot and the movie of a life. You could come into my world and look at my life on any given day, and if you get me on a bad day when I am losing it because something has tipped me over the edge, you could call me an angry man or a frustrated man or whatever. That hopefully is the snapshot of my life. There's a difference between a snapshot and a movie. If the story of my life is I'm living without margin, then maybe God wants to do something so that I readjust and create some margin. If I'm in a season at the moment, like these guys here got brand new baby. Trust me, they've got no time margin. They're barely keeping life together at the moment. They're living on 3 hours sleep and he's running a couple, like they got no money. But I tell you, that is a season of life. There's a big difference between a season and a lifestyle. A season has an end date. I often say to people, how you doing? Oh, I'm just so busy. Well, how long have you been busy for? About 10 years. It's just a season. 10 years is not a season. That's a lifestyle. The minute you can't tell me the end date, it's not a season anymore. It's a lifestyle. No farmer goes into calving season and says, well, it's going to end. I don't know when it's going to end. They tell you, I'm going in June. I'll see you in August. You're not going to see me for those 3 months. But come August, we're having dinner again. We're hanging out. Why? Because that's a season. I reckon in Christianity, we've used the word season very loosely. How's your marriage? Well, it's going through a rough season. You said that 5 years ago. Get some counseling because it's no longer a season. Talk to your Connect group leader. Talk to someone. Let someone in your world, because you need to create margin. So I'm not talking to people who have a season at the moment. I'm talking to those of us who have areas in our life that has a lifestyle of just living to the edge and having no margin. Margins are where the miracles happen. Where there is margin in my life, there is a potential for a miracle for myself and for someone else. I love the story of Ruth, which is a great story of margins. For those of you who maybe haven't read the story of Ruth, let me give you a quick synopsis. There was a famine in the land of Israel, so a man took his family, which consisted of his wife and his two sons, to a neighboring land where there wasn't a famine. It was the land of Moab. They get to the land of Moab, and the two sons marry Moabite women, and they get along with life, and they start to live, and they start to thrive, but the husband passes away. That's okay, because in those days, a lady's security was found in her husband, and if the husband passed away, then it became the responsibility of the sons to make sure the mum was okay. So she was okay because she still had her two sons who were married to Moabite women. 10 years later, the Bible says that both the sons died as well. So you're left with a mother and two daughter-in-laws. She hears that back in Israel, the famine has broken. So she thinks, I'm going to go back to Israel and I'm going to go there. Maybe someone will take me in. Maybe I can find family, because I am now extremely vulnerable because I am a widow and I'm alone in a foreign land. So she says, I'm going to go back to the land of Israel. I'm going to try and find someone who'll take me in. But before she does that, she pulls her daughter-in-laws together, who are Moabites. And she says to them, one of their names is Ruth and the other one is, I forget. Doesn't matter, this story's about Ruth anyway. So pulls her daughters together and says, hey, I'm going to go home, but why don't you go back to your families? Because you can marry again and you can find a hope for your future. Ruth says to Naomi, the daughter-in-law says to her mother-in-law, you are now my family. Where you go, I go. Your people are my people. I have been grafted into relationship with you. Father, give us people in the 21st century who will honor the grafting of relationship and not just run when times are tough or run to the next opportunity or fly to the next thing that's on. But God, you have called us to build life together in the good times and in the famine times. So Ruth says to Naomi, I'm staying here. I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. So they end up back in Israel, and that's where we pick up the story, because now we have a widow and her daughter-in-law living in Israel. How do they survive? How do they get through? And we're going to pull three thoughts out of Ruth's story about what margins do, and hopefully God speaks to all of us and we walk out of here committed this week to creating a little more margin, to creating a little more space to say, God, you do what you want to do in my life. Number one, margins provide protection. Margins provide protection. Ruth was a, number one, a female, and number two, a widower. She was the most vulnerable of vulnerable in that society. She had no idea how she was going to feed herself. She had no idea how she was a foreigner, because she'd come back with Naomi. She was a Moabite now living in Israel. How does she feed herself? Ruth chapter 2, verse 8, she meets a guy by the name of Boaz who had created margin in his life. He hadn't filled his field, so to speak, right to the edges, but he'd done what God told him to do back in Deuteronomy. Ruth 2:8. Now Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean from another field. Do not go and pick up food. Do not go and pick up sustenance. Do not go and pick up provision for another field, but do not go from here, but stay close to my young women. Verse 9, let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And you are, if you are thirsty, then go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.
Boaz in his fields. He was a wealthy man, and he didn't push all the way to the edges. And he said to the people who were harvesting in his field, if something drops as you harvest, leave it for people like Ruth who have no other option. And all of a sudden, the way he did life, the way he'd structured his life, became protection for a vulnerable person. I wonder whether God wants to use our life to create protection for someone else. And maybe it's not protection in the form of a sheath of wheat, but maybe it's protection in the form of a safe space where they can start to talk about what's really going on in the inside, where they can begin to open up about what it is they're fearful of and what it is they've been through. I wonder if God wants to use us and our margin so that someone else can find shelter in the shadow of our life. And I reckon life that God wants to use our church to be a shelter, a haven for the vulnerable and the hurting. And vulnerable and hurting is not just a one type of person. There are millions of people in our city who look like they've all got it all together on the outside, but are vulnerable on the inside, and they're just looking for someone. Have you got margin for me to come? The challenge is, we can't shelter others when we have no space left. And friend, tomorrow is an unknown quantity. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to come our way tomorrow. Storms happen. Stuff happens in life. And I find when I'm at my most vulnerable is when I have no margin to absorb the storms of life, but they tip me over the edge. There have been times in the last 3 to 5 years where there's been a whole bunch of stuff happened. COVID, and my father passed away, and Pastor Paul diagnosed, and change of leadership, and building project. There's been a whole bunch of stuff going on. And from time to time, I've caught myself saying to those who are closest to me, I've got nothing left to give. You ever been there? Just me. I feel like the only alcoholic confessing at an AA meeting right now. Come on, anyone been there? Where you're like, man, if one more person asks me for one more thing, that's my wife and my kids and the team that I've got the honor and the privilege of serving alongside. They're not asking me for one more thing. They are me. And all of a sudden, because I've got no margin, the unforeseen stuff of life tips me over the edge. Let me ask maybe three guys, maybe Danny, Paul, and Time, who's gone? Right. You're like the Holy Spirit. Come on up here, guys. Just because you can't lever out like the Holy Spirit, just jump on up here. Let's just say this balloon represents an area of life. Just begin blowing them up. Let's just say this balloon represents an area of life, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's, don't pop it, just blow it tight. Whether it's whatever it is in our life. And storms come. When we're not living to the edges, then there is enough elasticity in life to absorb the storms of life. Sickness comes. Financial challenge comes. COVID comes. When we live close to the end, when we live with no margin, it doesn't take much for us to explode. And what God wanted to be protection for someone else, the enemy ends up having a field day, and we miss out and others miss out. How many times have you seen or been around people where their response is disproportionate to the challenge that is going on? Can I suggest that a big reason for that is because we've pushed to the edge of everything and there is no ability to absorb the challenges of life. If you're a driven person, how many driven people in here? Give me a wave. All your A-type personalities, give me a wave. Thank you, guys. Give me a wave if you're a driven person. This is something that we have to watch out. Because there's always another idea, there's always another opportunity, there's always something else we can push into. But the question is, does it take the margin that God wants us to leave to become a miracle for us and a miracle for someone else? Because margins provide protection. Number two, margins provide provision. My margin, Boaz's margin, became provision for Ruth and Naomi. Manna and I celebrated 25 years of marriage last December, and for 25 years, we have never lived with family in the same city, ever. So raising kids becomes an interesting journey, particularly when you're pretty involved in church, and every time you go to get a babysitter for an event, all of your world is at the same event. Hey, can you? I'm sorry, I'm there as well. Hey, I've got a leader's night. Sorry, you're going to be there as well. Like, it is a juggle. We had zero margin. And then when Judah's now 13 years old, when he was 2 years before he was born, this couple came to us and said, we feel like God's asked us to be available to help you with your kids so you can do what God's called you to do. Every Sunday morning for a decade, 10 years, they would turn up at our house at 6:30 a.m. I would go to one campus, Amanda would go to another campus, which is our story, it's what we do, that's what we're called to do. This couple would get our kids ready, bring them to church, do the first service and the second service with our kids, take them home to our house, feed them lunch. We would get home, we would hang out with them, and they would go home. I could count on two hands how many Sundays they missed in a decade. They had kids, and they rejuggled it so that Gary, the husband, would stay at home with their kids, and Maria would come to our house with our kids, and they would do that whole juggle. They would be available for midweek stuff. They would be available for all. And I sat them down one day, and I said, hey, guys, I need you to know that every time Amanda leads worship and people encounter the presence of God, that's not just her, that's your part of that journey. Because you've used your margin to become a genuine miracle for us. Every time I pray for someone and I'm not worried about our kids, you're part of that story. That's part of your fruit. That's part of your miracle. Every time someone receives something from God because God has graciously allowed us to be a channel of who He is, that's not just us. You're part of that story. And God has this amazing ability to use our margin to become provision for not just what we see, but the fruit that unlocks. Only heaven will tell the story of what that happens. Can I encourage you? Create some margin to allow God to use you. I was sitting down with a friend of mine last week, and he's found himself in a bit of a challenging situation, and he has a very similar upbringing to mine, and we were exchanging stories, and I was challenging him on some of the decisions he makes, and he looks at me dead in the eye, and he goes, well, that's all right for you. So I looked him back, and I said, hey, ask the second question, because the second question to that is, if it's all right for me, why is it all right for me? Because you and I had a very similar upbringing, a very similar platform, a very similar start in life. I could be where you are, but the same is true. You could have the same story that I have, because it's not how good I am, it's how good God is. And I've looked at His ways and His word and His pattern, and I've tried my best to follow who He is. And can I tell you that you're only a couple of decisions away from changing the trajectory of your life? Well, I don't have any margin. It's all right for you. You know what? Any one of us in here could fill our lives right to the edge in certain areas. But if someone else is doing it better, why don't you go and ask, how do you do that? Because I want to create margin in my world. Because margin provides protection. Margin provides provision. And thirdly, margin provides space to change the trajectory of my life. Margin provides space to change the trajectory of my life. 2015, Pastor Paul and Marie went on a trip to Italy. And Pastor Paul rented a little Fiat. You ever seen those little Fiats? Can you imagine Pastor Paul and Marie driving around Italy in a Fiat? It's the funniest thing in my mind's eye, right? Like, Pastor Paul driving around this little Fiat. He goes, she was navigating. She said, go down this street. And he's like, no, I don't want to go down this street. I'm going to go down another street. So he goes down another street. And as he goes down the street is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until he realized, I'm not on a street, I'm on a footpath. And he finds himself right outside a cafe with not enough room to even open the doors. You ever felt like life is closing in on you? Feel a nudge of the Holy Spirit to make a change? I don't have space to make a change. I don't have the time, the emotional energy, or the spiritual reservoir to obey what you're asking me to obey at the moment. If you find yourself in that space, like I have many a time, can I suggest? It's not God's voice that's the issue. It's not the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that's the issue. Maybe margin's the issue. Maybe I need to back off some stuff. And maybe I need to create space to change the trajectory of my life. I don't know if you've ever heard of a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. But the Ten Boom family were instrumental in saving the lives of countless Jewish families under the Nazi regime, because they created a hiding place within the closet of their house where they would hide Jewish families. So when the Nazis came and raided and looked at their house, they couldn't find the family that was in the hiding place. Look at me, church. God has called you and I to be a hiding place, so that the people in our world that God brings along and Holy Spirit says, would you use your margin for them? That we've got enough space to hide them from the enemy so that they can gain strength. Do you know what a connect group is? It's a hiding place. You know what some conversations in the foyer are? Yeah, but I just get here with just enough time because the kid's this and the kid's that. Come on, I've been there. I'm getting in at 9:02 and then straight after. No, can we create some margin? Why don't we get here at 9:45 and say, God, give me eyes to see all of the new people that are coming in, that I can connect with them, that we can start a conversation. Maybe margin starts with 15 minutes on a Sunday morning so that we say, God, use my conversation. It's not just for the leaders. If you know Jesus, he wants to use you in the foyer of our church to become a vessel of his hope and his grace and his mercy. God, use me. So I'd love for us to take just a moment and say, I will make room. Holy Spirit, here I am. Would you speak to me? Maybe I need some margin in my emotional world. It's full. Maybe it's full of baggage and hurt. And what margin looks like is actually letting someone into that space to pray with you and journey with you and believe God for an amazing miracle with you. Maybe there's financial areas that I'm stretched and I'm full of debt and I'm just keeping my nose above water, but I feel like, God, you've asked me to be generous in that area. Well, don't wait for tomorrow. Why don't you today say, what have I got to do to start on that journey so that in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months time, I've got margin. Friend, it may not happen overnight, but can I tell you from personal story of a guy who's had to work through a bunch of stuff, it is worth the journey to get to a place to say, God, I've now got some margin for you to use me as protection for someone else, as provision for someone else. And God, never let me be so full that I can't change the trajectory of my life as you lead me Start a connect group. I've got no space. Jump on team. I've got no space. Why don't you get to work and start a Bible study? I've got no space. God, let me live with space so that when you lead, I can respond. So would you close your eyes for just a couple of moments? Today, before we worship, the first step in discovering what it is to live a life like this is to discover the creator of life. Because God created you with a plan and a purpose. God has a will and a way for your life. Can I suggest that one of God's ways is to live with margin? There's a whole bunch of ways that God has for us to live that would cause us to live fruitful and fulfilled, outworking the plan and the purpose that He has for us. But today, if you don't know God for yourself, if you've never opened your heart to a God who loves you and a God who is for you, you're living disconnected from Him, you are separated from Him. The Bible says that all of us are born into this state that is separated from God because we're all born with sin. We're all born with shortcomings. We're all born not perfect. And because God is perfect, imperfection separates us from God. But the answer is not you becoming perfect. The answer is giving your life to the perfect one, and His name is Jesus. And He can become the answer to anything that separates you from God. So today, if you don't know God for yourself, our church for 32 years has existed for people to discover God for themselves. Every campus today, there are churches all over the world today who are believing that people who walked in to a service like this, disconnected from God, will walk out having begun their own journey of a relationship with God. Friend, God's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. And if you wanted today, say, Scott, include me in a prayer that I would begin my own journey of a relationship with God, that I would know what it is to find forgiveness today and a hope for tomorrow, that I would discover His plan and His purpose. If that's you today, then would you just begin to raise your hand and say, Scott, would you pray for me today that in this moment I would discover what it is to have a relationship with God? Once I've seen it, you can put it down, and right where you're seated, I'm going to pray and believe God for the greatest miracle of all time. It's a human heart coming alive to His grace and His mercy. God bless you over here. God bless you over here. God bless you over here. Come on, anyone else, say yeah. Include me in that prayer. God bless you, man. God bless you, man. Fantastic. God bless you, little champion. Anyone else, say yeah. That, include me in that prayer. I'd love to pray for you. Awesome. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray a prayer. Even if you weren't quite ready to lift your hand, but you want to start your own relationship with God, would you pray this prayer with us? We're all going to pray it as one big family. Say, Father, today I open my life. I thank You that You love me, that You are for me, that You have a plan and a purpose for my life. Jesus, I need a Savior, and I choose You to be my Lord, to be my Savior. From this day on, I am a Christ follower. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we congratulate every single person?
We trust that you are encouraged.